Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
I think I've discovered one of your dominant spiritual gifts.
Oh boy.
Discouragement.
Because I move your microphone?
No, not because you move my microphone, because you're in church. And the library is giving away used books that
no.
They are no longer in use. And you say, look at this book I got for free. High expectations for Tom Rainer. The church did not want it anymore.
I didn't have a copy of it. I think they had duplicate copies. That's what I'm telling myself.
No, John. That is not what... Go back and read your text to me.
Well, I know exactly what I said.
Hey, here's a great Sunday message for you. They don't want my book anymore. And the only thing they can do is put it in the dumpster or give it away.
It wasn't in the dumpster yet.
Yet. It would have been. You saved one of my books.
Starfish. It's a starfish. It mattered to that one.
Oh, good gravy train.
It's a good book. I didn't have a copy of it, so I grabbed it.
Jonathan, that's not what your text said.
I know.
Now you're trying to justify
both
your discouragement and your insubordination. neither one of them that is well taken. It was my first major work on assimilation.
Oh.
High expectations was.
In fact,
at the time, I was doing a... Nationwide, I tell you talk about traveling all the time. There were days that I would do two conferences in one day. I would do one in the morning, and then I would travel, get on a flight, and do one at night.
About to start doing that again.
Not that bad. Not that bad. It's going to be short term too. This is for Lifeway Christian Stores, but I was doing this for the old Church Growth Institute, and I was traveling. I landed one time in Los Angeles, but before the day was over, I had to get to Las Vegas, and then after that was over, I had to catch a flight to Chicago,
and good grief!
And it was grueling, but the thing that was hot then was my old conference called Closing the Back Door, and it was selling out. Now, a sellout was usually 100 people,
yeah,
but it was selling out. So I want to make sure I'm not embellishing this too much. Maybe some venues could hold 150. They wanted them where there were tables, and so they didn't do them in worship centers because they actually handed out the paper workbook and people filled them in as I put my thing on the overhead projector.
Like the original Secret Church.
Yeah. But churches back then were saying, what can we do to close the back door? Well, let me say this. What we're saying here on the 8 traits of an assimilated church, you can still read in High Expectations that was written long time ago because it still applies today. Have you ever seen my workbook on Closing the Back Door?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a very youthful picture. Any skinnier, youthful picture.
I'm more interested in the business model of all these conferences.
Well, they're no longer in business.
Yeah. I know. There you go. And there
now,
you have it.
What happened is that the small to medium conference began to fade away.
Oh.
And all of them faded away. It was pervasive at one time. I mean, there were years that I was on the road 200 days a year.
No.
And y'all know why I'm now averse to traveling, among other things.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to have me along.
So, and I had no one. Okay, so we're going to talk about this thing about assimilation. We will look at 8 traits of an assimilated church.
All right. And before we do that, we're going to thank our sponsor, Midwestern Seminary, and their MDiv, the flagship degree program at Midwestern, is the primary track for ministry preparation. At just 81 hours, it offers a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, offering everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City as you train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. Start today at mbts.edu/mdiv.
Okay, so what was it called when you would put up a prototype person? What were those things called? When you would say, who's the person we're trying to reach? What was that thing?
An avatar?
An avatar.
Yes.
What was it called before that? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
Before the word avatar. Anyway, we're going to put up an avatar for just a moment.
Okay.
And the avatar is going to be of a church member who is very committed to the church, who attends on a regular basis. She reads her Bible daily.
It's got to be a she, huh?
I'm going to change the pronoun for time. shares the gospel on a regular basis. They, if you want me to get plural, they don't miss their community groups, and they're not one of these infrequent attenders in a worship service. We're going to put that avatar up, and we're going to describe that church member right now through 8 characteristics of him or her or them.
All right, number one, they have taken the steps of affiliation with the church.
Yep.
Became a member.
I am a church member. Yeah. I use the wording a little bit differently because some churches don't use the word membership, which I wish they would, because 1 Corinthians 12 is pretty much clear on being a member of the body of Christ. But I just use the word affiliation. They have put a stake in the ground that has said, I am a part of this church. There's not this just loose affiliation or come and go as you want. They have committed themselves to be a part of a church, locking arms with other members within the church. So, look, if you want to see someone go out the back door, don't worry about membership. Just have a loose affiliation, and they will loosely stick to the church. They have become this person, this avatar. Let's see, what can we call them? Churchy Chuck. How about that?
Wow. So, sorry, Dr. Lawless. You got co-opted here.
I was thinking about Chuck Carter, actually.
Okay.
So Churchy Chuck is, and what? How about on the female side? Anything that you can come up with just off the cuff? This is not planned, folks, and think you're weird.
Well, Member Marie.
Member Marie and Churchy Chuck. So this is the avatar we have. Member Marie has become a member of the church. That's part of her profile.
All right, number two. They attend worship on a regular basis.
Yeah, this is the chicken and the egg thing. I think you said that in a text thing. Are they committed and then they come to worship, or they worship and that's a sign that they're committed? Let me simply say it this way. There's a high correlation between frequency of worship attendance and whether or not that person stays with the church over the long haul.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've talked about that stat in the past.
Yeah, I've talked about that stat primarily with
small groups,
with community groups, small groups. But it also applies to worship. The more frequently someone attends, the more likely they are to be a part of the church.
Yeah, I mean, that common sense.
Yeah,
would say that.
Yeah,
but at the same time, people think I don't know why that I can be a member of this church and attend infrequently or, you know, if ever.
Yeah, not a biblical model. So I was getting my hairs cut. I always have a story about getting my hairs cut. And so
I never have a story about getting my hairs cut.
If Tim Hill, our CIO, can have stories about getting his hairs cut, y'all are about in the same boat.
He's not nearly follically as bald as me.
Really? Huh. Okay. I don't guess I'll look at your...
I'm a much balder man than him.
Okay. There you go. So if we begin to look at this thing about worship attendance, and we begin to break it down, you know, why are people attending? You're going to see that many churches don't even look at frequency of attendance. They're not asking the question, why haven't we seen that person in such a time? Maybe they can't keep up with them. I don't know. So,
well, it's hard if you don't have on-campus small groups, or if they're not connected to an on-campus small group.
Yep.
Because you don't know if they were there or not, if they're an adult. If they're kids, it's a little bit easier. You know, if a kid's checked in, you know, every week, you know they're there.
But it is pretty easy with most churches in America, because you get to under 200 and you're about at 88% of churches in America.
Yeah.
You can pretty much
visually see who's there.
Yep.
And good pastors know.
Oh, let me mention this about my pastor, Jess. I was speaking of a church member. I said, I saw them in church for the first time, and I believe it's been about a month. And he said, yeah, let me tell you what happened last week with them, the week before, and the week before.
He knows.
He knows, but as the church grows, he's not going to know
everything. And it's virtually impossible to do so.
Yep, it is. It is.
All right, number three, identifies with the vision and purposes of the church.
A committed church member is, the builders were committed to the institution. We've mentioned that in previous podcasts. Those born before 1946. You start getting into the boomers and Gen X, and then the millennials, and then Gen Y. You start getting into all the generations that follow, and you will find that they are going to be connected with the purpose of the church. And this will become more and more important. And I'm trying to tell church leaders, you need to be able to say, I call it the elevator pitch. That's usually a salesy type of thing to sell something while you're on the elevator. But you need to be able to say what your church is passionate about, what its purpose is, in about 20 seconds or 25 seconds, just like that.
Well, we talked about vision statements. In churches, need to be able to be remembered.
Yeah.
Memorable, I guess.
Memorable.
Yes. And they need to have movement
yes.
to them, like a process.
A process of discipleship.
And right.
Alignment.
They need to be aligned.
Yeah.
To the ministries need to be aligned to the vision statement, everything too.
So, and every else eliminated. Yeah. Everything else eliminated, which is focus.
So short, memorable, and provide, you know, momentum and movement.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Number four. They pursue meaningful relationships in the church.
This primarily goes back to groups.
Yeah.
That's the best way. You can certainly have a meaningful relationship in the context of a ministry. I know that some praise groups and choirs are as connected as anyone because they practice together.
Yeah,
they,
with each other all the time.
Yeah, so that is an effective group. But there is intentionality that the church is always moving people towards a group. And I know we do it in our church, and I know that some churches are very good about that. But here's the stat. It hasn't been updated, so I'm almost to the point where I'm going to stop giving it because I don't have any
reason. But it's such a good stat.
I know. We got
to find an updated one.
It's
but it's hard.
It's hard to update. I had to go through manual church records when I did this.
Holy moly.
So it's – and I had to look at it over a long – let me put it this way. My doctoral students did.
I was going to say, I bet you didn't.
Yeah, my doctoral students did. So it's been old. But someone who is in a group is five times more likely to be with the church over a five-year period, stick with it, become active, than someone that is in worship only. We know that there's probably some variations of that statistic because it's been so long, but I think I can say with a high level of assurance, being in a group and pursuing meaningful relationships is one of the stickiest things that you can
do.
So if a pastor, and many pastors do listen to us, if a pastor has listened to this right now, think of action items. Think of what you want to do with Marie Member or Chucky Church. What do you want to do with her or him? You want to have some type of system of affiliation, okay? You may bring them through a new members class and encourage everyone to go that. You want to encourage everybody to be a part of worship. Our vision statement pushes us to worship in our church, in our worship services, I should say. You have to be clear about the vision and the purpose of the church leader, and you have to be a leader of groups. Pastors, if you are not the biggest cheerleader of groups, community groups, small groups, Sunday school, whatever you call it, in your church, you are not going to have effective groups. The responsibility of at least the emphasis falls upon you. And that's just four of them.
Yeah.
We haven't even got to the other four.
Yeah. Well, and I'd also say, just to tack onto this meaningful relationships, not only pursuing groups or meaningful relationships in the church, but outside the church for the opportunity to be able to share the gospel and have gospel conversations with those relationships.
Yeah, and we've mentioned this in a previous podcast as well. Our church does this by asking everyone to pick up a card with a pen at the end of the service and give that card that has information about the church to someone. That may not be a relationship, but that is a connection that can become a relationship.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in number seven there.
Okay.
But number five, they give financially.
Yeah. The more someone gives to the church, the more their commitment is. We have said it to the point that it's cliche, but it's biblical cliche. Where your heart is, your money will go, and where your money is will reflect your heart. And so you tell me the spiritual commitment level of someone, and one of the primary ways that I would attempt to do it, if I could only do one thing, as I would say, show me their checkbook or show me their bank statement if they don't write checks anymore. Show me their giving levels, and that is an indication because that's one of the things we hold on to. It's one of the things we do. Yeah, we do not let go of that. And yet the principle of first fruits say that should be the first thing that we let go of because it's not ours anyway. We give abundantly.
All right, number six, we serve the body in some way.
Yeah, get involved in ministry. Absolutely get involved in ministry. I'm really kind of surprised at me. This sounds braggadocious. I guess it is. But I'm involved in a lot of things at that church right now. I'm on the cleaning crew in the morning before church. I am I don't know if we call them ushers, but I'm an offering taker-upper.
Okay.
I'm on the welcome team. I'm a community group leader.
You preach from time to time.
I preach from time to time. So, yeah, wow. You know what, Jonathan?
You are a church member.
Yeah.
That's good. You wrote the book on it. Literally.
Yeah, I really am. And I'm enjoying every minute of it. You know, Amy over here from time to time will get invitations for me to preach in churches. And for the most part, I decline because if I accepted everything that came my way, I couldn't be at my own church.
Exactly.
And so I'm enjoying.
I kind of wonder about that. Like people in your role, not just like you, but just a lot of leaders, Christian leaders that preach in a different church every week.
Yeah, they consider it part of their ministry, I guess. But I miss being a part of a local church where I'm not the leader of that local church. I'm loving this stage of life.
All right. Number 7, they have intentional gospel conversations.
We mentioned the card, and you said we would come back to the card when we got to number 7. And I'm in a previous podcast where I'm doing what I'm doing now. We've put this on the podcast before, but we'll put this picture, this little card. One side, it has you're invited, the church at Spring Hill. On the other side, you're invited. It tells us the time of the service. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. It gives a physical address, Port Royal Road in Spring Hill. Has a map on how to get there.
By the Daylight Donuts.
Yeah, which we need to put on there because that's become a marker in Spring Hill. And then it has the website, churchatsh.com. So you can begin intentional gospel conversations just by handing someone, can I invite you to my church? You may not have it there, but you may have it later.
Yeah.
There may be opportunities where you can have full-fledged gospel conversations, and that's good as well. But one thing we mentioned in a previous podcast is we looked at some projections and predictions I had made in the past that are now true. Churches are now getting more in the habit of inviting. That's why we created that resource, Invite Your One. You can go to inviteyourone.com and look at that resource. But churches are getting more in this act. It's very encouraging, and more people are having intentional gospel conversations.
All right, the final trait of an assimilated church member is that they are maturing in his or her faith.
There are a lot of things that we can say about this, but we're talking about personal disciplines here. Certainly giving is one of the personal disciplines, and we highlighted that to some extent. But Brad Wagner, he sometimes is funny about the single book that he has written called The Shape of Faith to Come.
That's his only book?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, his only book. And it is really a good book. The problem that he had with that book was the publisher at the time was not a good publisher, the old B&H, not the current B&H. I've said that in public more than once, so you don't have to grimace on that. And so that book never got traction, but it's an incredible book, and it has some rich information in it. One of the things that I think was one of the highlights of the book is the number one spiritual indicator of a growing Christian is that he or she reads their Bible daily.
Yeah.
Daily.
It transforms everything.
Yep. And again, Pastor, what should you be doing? Well, you may have a daily Bible reading plan. I know some pastors that actually say, for today, I want you to read this, and they actually have daily podcasts, mm-hmm. like two-minute podcasts that people listen to. Or you can just say, encourage people to just be in the Word on a regular basis. One of the primary indicators of spiritual growth. And then there's prayer. And we've talked about giving, and we could add others like fasting. There are a number of spiritual disciplines that are there. But the point about an assimilated church member, Churchy Chuck or Marie, Member Marie or mm-hmm. Member Marie, either one of those avatars is that he and she are being intentional about maturing in the faith every single day. And so these are 8 incredible characteristics. They've taken steps of affiliation with the church. They attend worship on a regular basis. They identify with the vision and purpose of the church. They pursue meaningful relationships both outside the church and inside, particularly through groups. They give financially. They serve the body in some way. They have intentional gospel conversations, and they are intentional about maturing in his or her faith. Pastor, church leader, as you have listened to these, you should have numerous potential action items for assimilation in your church. So thank you for listening to this. And as always, we are grateful to Vanderblumen Search Group for being our sponsor.
Yep, Vanderblumen Search Group helps churches and ministries build great teams by finding their key staff, but they also have a ton of resources helping you with team building. Their newest addition is the Culture Tool. It's a free comprehensive staff engagement survey to help you build, run, and keep a great team. It's brand new, and you can find out more at theculturetool.com. and improve your staff culture. Once again, that's theculturetool.com to learn more. That's going to do it for us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Dr. Rainer, any final closing thoughts?
Okay, pastor or other leader in the church, go to the show notes. Go to tomrainer.com, look at the show notes. There are 8 items there because this is the 8 traits of an assimilated church member. We've talked about Member Marie and Chucky Church as the 2 avatars. Here's what I encourage you to do. Come up with an action item for each one of these 8 and start praying over them, thinking about what you can do as a leader to move your church even more so in each of these eight directions. Because a healthy church is not only a church with a wide open front door reaching people with the gospel, it is also a church with a closed back door keeping people in active participation joyfully in the life of the body of Christ.
Thanks again for joining us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.